Parshas Kisavai. So, just to jump for a second, because there's what to do with this week's Parsha and last week's Parsha. So, in the middle of this week's Parsha, it mentions the 11 Arurim, the 11 curses that, even though they are obviously part of the regular Averis in the Torah, they get specified with the word Ara in a specific curse. So one of them is Arur Makireo Basaser, someone who hits his friend in hiding, which Chazal explained, Rashi brings down that it's really referring to Lashon Hara. So just based on that, Ramban says at the end of last week's Parsha, that towards the end of last week's Parsha, it mentioned Miriam and Lashon Hara, that you have to remember. And Ramban said over there that really the Torah should have been Malim, it should have covered over the story with Miriam. In other words, almost like, why is it speaking Lashon Hara about Miriam, telling us what she did? But he explained that the Torah specifically wanted to say it in order to show us how bad Lashon Hara is, and it makes a korban between people, right? And that was Miriam, Moshe, and Aaron. How much is going on already? But, you know, look what happened from a simple little talking that, oh, Moshe, we can imagine how, unfortunately, our Lashon Hara is way past that. And we think, oh, okay, Lashon Hara, for some reason, I don't care about the 17 lav and 3 arurim and 14 essen that I think you can be over for it. Maybe I won't care about that. I just don't want it to get to other people. No. Somehow it's going to get to another person. It's going to end up being way worse than you thought it was. And that's what the Torah is trying to show from this. Ramban's Lashon is. Right, Miriam, and she really only was trying to do it as a tzaddikess. You know, does he think he's better? Maybe he's not doing the correct thing. But it ended up with disastrous results. Kleistel had to wait 7 days. Maish, it was very problematic how exactly to make her tahar. So, kalvachaymer b'menaish, kalvachaymer by us, how careful we have to be with the Lashon Hara, specifically, even just for this point, that it shouldn't get to other people. If it's not enough to scare us, that which is said about it, the bad things about someone who does it, at least let us keep in mind that it could spread and have disastrous results more than we imagine. Perhaps that'll hopefully keep us from speaking it. Okay. Fine. The beginning of this week's parasha speaks about Bikurim. Now, the Aruch Chaim says that Bikurim does not apply in the Shemitah year because, anyways, the fruits and field aren't yours. That's what he says. So, once in 7 years, you're off from Bikurim. Asks Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rav in Yerushalayim, 1930s, 1940s, in the Mishnah Bikurim. Parak Aleph Mishnah Hey, it says that women are potter because the land, they can't say the land that was given to me, because land wasn't given to them, it's only given to men. He asks, why don't we say a better reason? We always know a mitzvah sasesha asman grama, a time-related mitzvah, is a way to say women are out. Isn't it time-related if there's an entire year that you're out? That's what he asks. Similarly, the Turei Evan already asks that we know you can only bring Bikurim from Shavuos till Chanukah. On that he asks. So that seems it's time related. Why doesn't the Mishnah say Shazman Grama? So they're both asking basically the same question, just from two different points. The two basic Frank is asking it from the fact that it's off once every 7 years, and the Turei Evan is asking it Benageah, that you can only do it at certain times during the year. So he answers that when do we say mitzvah seisha as my grama is a ptur? When it's saying that it's noyheg, this thing applies in this time and it doesn't apply in this time. For instance, lulav. Lulav does not apply now. It only applies on Sukkot. That's why it's Sashlan Groma. Good, the women accept it upon themselves. Same thing with Shofar. But the point is, it's a time related. It itself is time related. When it's not the time, there's nothing about lulav. There are palm fronds all over if you'd like now. There's a ram's horn. There's no such thing as these things. But Bikurim, really, the entire time is its mitzvah. Just that, you would say, just the time of fruit and the newness of fruit expires after Hanukkah. So for really, really, you would bring Bikurim. There's another technical side point that's stopping you from bringing it. That doesn't mean that it's called Zman Grama. For that, it would not be called the time-related mitzvah. And so too over here, the 6 years and the 1 year. It's punk that the land is not yours, but that doesn't make it that it's not a time related. Let's just say for some reason, somehow, the government of the world buys out all the palm fronds for that year, and no one can have any love it. And they make it a statement every year that for those 7 days they own everything. Would we say, oh, Now, would we say that that's a reason to say that lulav is mitzvah seishas makarama because we can't get to them? No, we would say that it's a mitzvah during the 7 days of Sukkot, just we can't get to it, right? So too over here we're saying, there's a mitzvah always about Bikurim. Just there are certain aspects. For the Tori Evans question, it was about Hanukkah to Shavuot. Good. After Hanukkah, you just can't bring it because it's not a time of renewment of fruits. And that's one thing applicable. But the mitzvah could have applied. And so too with the answering with the Shemitah as well, that the Shemitah is just saying the ground is not yours. You just don't, you're sort of locked that you can't get to. Okay, fine. Happens to be there's a big to-do back and forth whether there's actually Bikurim in Shemitah or not. Although the Arachaim seem to say it straight out that there isn't. It's a big to-do. Mechas Chinuch seems to say that there is, like it's Mevorim Parshas Mishpatim. It could be that perhps there's a mistake in that Rashi brings down over there. Really, there's back and forth, and one has to know what to do with that. Okay. It says that you're bringing Bikurim from where? Mereshis Peri HaAdama. From the first fruits of the land. Which we know the Bikurim is from the Shivas Aminim. Right? The wheat, the barley, from the dates, the olives, the pomegranates, the first fruits, exactly. Now, why are we calling it Peri HaAdama if most of them grow on a tree? The pomegranate, the date, the olive, the fig. Most of them are growing on trees. So why are we calling it fruit of the ground? Only barley and the wheat are from the ground. On what?
The fig.
No, we make ha'ais. So why don't we say? Right, right. So what? Exactly. So why don't we say pre ha'ais? Yeah, there are two things that happen to be from the ground. But I mean, think about the right wheat and barley. Of course, it's a main staple, and it's beautiful because of what it represents. But figs and I mean, those are beautiful because they're beautiful. I wouldn't, it says they used to beautify the baskets. I mean, I would think that it should be called based on that. So why is it called pre ha'adama? Okay. So, the Panim Yafis answers, almost towards what you were saying, Reb Jerry, that what happens if someone accidentally makes a Bar Pri Adama on an apple? Accidentally on an apple, he makes Bar Pri Adama. Is he Yotze or not? Does he have to make a new bracha? The halacha is, he's Yotze. Since a tree grows from a ground, you can work. Obviously, you shouldn't have done it. But since that, you could work it out. So therefore, technically, it's not that we're excluding them by saying this. If we would say Priya Eitz, you would say wheat and barley are not included, much as it would be nice to say that. But by saying Priya Adama, you're including wheat and barley, and the others are technically included, even though it wouldn't be the best thing, but
that's... It doesn't have to be a tshuva.
Not... I wouldn't say that it would be a tshuva of saying Hashem's name in vain. You maybe one should be more careful and cognizant of the bracha he's making, and that wouldn't happen. So he could be faulted for little things, but that can't be faulted for a bracha levatala. No, you made a bracha, that's why you're allowed to eat it. If it was the wrong bracha, then yes, we would say to him, you might have made a mistake, but you made a bracha in vain. This is not a bracha in vain. It works. Okay, there's another answer. That it says that the way you set up the basket is, I'm sorry, it's a Tosefta and a Rambam, that, right, you put these things in the basket, what do? Just throw them in? It says first you put the barley, then the wheat, then the figs, then the pomegranates and so on and so forth. So since the first thing you're putting in is the barley and the wheat, the things from the ground, so that's why it's getting referred to as that. I guess that's the base of your thing. So even though it's not what you see, like we said before, in the beautiful, but you're referring to, look what I brought. This is what I put in the bottom, and this was like, you know, the startup of the basket. Fun. Okay, and the Chidah suggests another possibility. We know that what is the Seder HaDvarim? Rashi brings down, how does Bikurim work? You don't just go when it's an apple. You could if you didn't do the first step. But really what you're supposed to do is, a person goes into this field and he sees a fig that's starting to sprout. He sees grapes that are starting to go somewhere. And he sees these things happening that you're supposed to go and tie a little string around it and say this is Bikurim, then you wait till it gets bigger and then you bring it and it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and you remember what that thing is. Since when you go, it's at an unripe state. If you eat an unripe grape, the bracha very possibly is Baruch Pri Adama, because it doesn't have the chashivas right now. Yes, it grew through a tree, but it doesn't have the chashivas, the specialness. It's not ready yet. So therefore, it's almost like wood itself or whatever, and that's why it's like it's looked at as growing from the ground. It's almost like the tree. It hasn't become its own entity from the tree.
In terms of bracha,
Yes. In Seder brachas would be mezainas ha'eit ha'zama shahakol. So yes, it is more chashiv. It gets a better stature. So anyway, so that's why it could be, we're saying Pri Adama, because true now, these are fully grown, but when did you start it? What was the beginning of the process? All these fruits, quote unquote, that we said, hey, aren't they ha'eit? They weren't so chashiv then, so therefore we refer to them like that to show like when we started off this process. Okay. There's another answer some want to say, because the point is, you're not coming to thank Hashem for the trees you have. You're coming to thank Hashem for the ground that you have. So therefore, it's more appropriate to say, and these things came from the ground, even though, yes, this thing came from a tree, but that's how we refer to it. This is what my land produced, Hashem. And thank you for the land. So that's why it's a better way to refer to it. Okay. The pasuk says you put it in a basket. First of all, happens to be that it's not so. That's not necessarily halacha. Rabban wonders about it. The Rambam wonders about it. It could be that it's not necessarily halacha. Maybe it's just more a convenience. The Mishnah is, like we said before, it definitely talks about you set up your basket so beautifully. It could be you don't have to. But anyways, Minatari, there's no shear. Just like other things, Trumas and Meisters, there is no shear for Bikurim. The Rabbanan said 1/60. Where's that come from? Ready for a math equation? Where's it come from, 1/60? In Gemara Ksubis, it says that every tree in Eretz Yisrael produced the amount that would fill 2 donkey loads. So I have 2 separate donkeys. The tree produces that. How much is a donkey load? Huh? 1 fig tree would produce 2 donkey loads. 2 separate donkeys. The Gemara Baba Metzia says that each donkey can hold 15 sa'. It's 15 sa', right? A mikvah is made up of 40 sa'. So 15 of those, well, I mean, obviously that's more dense and this is more spread out. 15 sa' can be held by a donkey. So now 2 donkeys together, that means 30 sa'. Right? That means a tree is producing 30 sa'. It is mavur that the chiyuv of Bikurim would only be on 1 tree. Good, it's now working out. I have 1 tree, and that tree is going to fill 2 donkeys, so that means that 1 tree has 30 saw on it. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Kalim, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Gimel, that the Rav explains that it's talking about over there a tenet, a basket, which is like a basket of Parsha. And the Rav says over there, you know the size of that? It's half of a saw. So that means that if I'm walking with my basket, which holds half a saw, this week's Parsha, and I'm walking to my tree, and I'm filling my basket of 30 saw of fruit, and I'm filling my basket, and that's it, one time fill, that means half of 30 units. How much do you have? You have 1/60. Because I'm taking half, one half out of what a unit is. There are 30 units on the tree, there are 30 saw on the tree. And I'm taking half of that saw, and that's it, to fill my basket. So how many baskets worth would the tree make technically? 60. And I'm only taking 1 basket. That's perhaps a hint, a remez to where it comes from, 1/60. Okay. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily over here. Other places in the Torah, there is Ramazan for that, but not, I mean, I don't, maybe it's not. They have Ramazan for that also. Yeah, not from here. Okay. The Baal Turim says that there's no samach in these few psukim of Bikurim to try to be meramez. You have to know how all the Ramazan Baal Turim works. I'm not proficient in them. But this is what he says. That there's, since there's no samach, that's coming to show that the shear is one of samach, one of 60. Okay, another possible hint. Okay. Fine. Now Rashi says, like we said about going down to the field, that a person goes down to his field and he sees a fig that starts sprouting, that starts budding. Or the example continued in the other places in the Mishnayos is a grape or a pomegranate. And very often these three are put together. The Gemara Brachos, when it speaks about the special bracha on the Shivas Aminim, it mentions these three. Why these three? Why pomegranate, grape, and fig? There are four others. Why aren't we mentioning them? And if we're not going to mention all of them, why specifically these three? So Rabbi Menachem Zemba, one of the Gedolim from Europe, he said from a Zohar that the Bikurim is a tikkun of the Meraglim. They brought, at least specifically the Torah says, grape, fig, and pomegranate. So therefore, as a remez to that, yes, of course, we bring all the Bikurim. But the ones we're specifically going to talk about and maybe to try to show that it's a tikkun for that is specifically the three that they brought. Again, although we're bringing all them, but perhaps it's stressing these three to try to show what the point is. Why is it keneged? Because they were kafli toiva. They ignored Hashem and were ungrateful and said we don't need Eretz Yisrael, it's too much for us, and didn't recognize what Hashem was throwing into their laps for free. So we come to be makir toiv, we come to show Hashem, no Hashem, we are here thanking you for this land, and therefore that is supposed to be a fix of Hub Rag, and we appreciate the land that you gave us. Now, just to bring out another place that it gets brought out. Again, it's its own proof, but that gets brought out that Bikurim, the Yisrael Bikurim is Hakar Satoiv, is that Pesach night, what's the point of Pesach night by the Seder? The main point. Most people would say, Emunah. What? And what are you trying to get out of it? That's the mitzvah. Good, right. If you stick to mitzvahs, you're right. You don't need to go further than that. But if we think a little bit, what's the point? Most people, I think, would answer to get emunah. It's a night open of emunah, a night for giving over and passing on the torch of the general. That's, I think, what most people think. Kobe. Rabbi Yerocham said he is a proof that I thought there could be a point, but it's not the main point. He said, what's the proof? Because the psukim in the Agada, the four psukim that we choose to darshan, are not Parsha Shemais and Va'era like you would think. You would think, let's open Parsha Shemais, Va'era, start talking about the Pesach story. We don't do that. We take these four psukim that talk about Mitzrayim right here in Parshas Kisavai. We start from Arami Yavid Avi, sounds familiar? It's these four psukim. Vanitzak, Mamish, all these things. This is what we say. This is what we darshan in Agada. Why? Why not Parsha Shemais Va'era? He answered, because what's the point of Bikurim? Clearly, Hakaras HaToyf, like we said before. So too Pesach night. The point of Pesach night is Hakaras HaToyf. That is the main thing. Why we're being Makir Toyf to Hashem for saving us. Why is that so important? Because when you're Makir Toyf to someone, you're beholden to someone. If you're beholden to someone, that means you're going to do something for him. If you're going to do something for him, that means you're saying, Hashem, I'm ready to do what you ask of me. That's more important than emunah. Emunah is believing. That's a nice thing. But this is even more than that. We're saying, Hashem, we're ready to serve you, almost like the Kabbalah of Kabbalah Satira was. Nasav and Ishmael, ready to do everyone. That, in a way, is almost what the Hakar Sevev is trying to accomplish. Okay, fine. Okay, it says Labi Seinu, you gave the land to our fathers. Therefore, the Gemara Makkah says, and it's really Mishnah Bikurim, therefore Ger cannot say this. A ger can't read the Parsha Bikurim because he can't say Lav Esenu. Ask the Panech Raza, and really the Mishnah Bikurim deals with this, so it's a little interesting that Panech Raza asks this. It's about Taisus. How does he damage Ben Esrei? How does he say Elikeinu Elikei Av Esenu? How does a ger say it? It's not his father. So it says, for Tefillah will rely on the Yerushalmi that Avram is really the father of all nations, and therefore technically Avram is his father too. The problem with that is Aveseinu. The new means us, but the say of Aveseinu means many fathers we have. Whose many fathers that we have? Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yitzhak and Yaakov seemingly weren't his father. So how does it work that it's just Avram? So the answer, Mevchinov says, he brings from Meshachas Aryeh that asks this, and he says that. He says that Avram is the Iker because it was sworn to him. Yes, we say Yitzchak and Yaakov in the Bracha, but once you get that you're from Avram the Iker, even though you might have come from a different child, it's good enough. Because that's once it was sworn to Avram, it can, and you're getting to the nation of Yitzchak and Yaakov, so that's good enough to say Aveseinu. The Ramban of Baba Basra says, not answering this question necessarily, but he says that all the Avos really were Avraham and Goyim. Yitzchak is clear because he definitely taught the same Talmidim as Avram. Yaakov is a little bit of a question because Yitzchak, Avram got a bunch of Talmidim. Yitzchak didn't try to get new Talmidim, he just taught the same Talmidim. So Mamela, they started dwindling away. By the time he got to Yaakov, it was really him by himself.
How do we know this?
What I just said?
Yeah,
I think it's a Chazal somewhere. It's a Chazal somewhere that Yitzchak with his Midas Hadin, Avraham's Midas Chesed was more spread out. Yitzchak was more focused. Of course, he didn't turn away as well as Talmidim, but he was not as spread out. That was how he excelled in his Midas. And Yaakov, it ended up, I think they say, with almost no one. That's why he was the builder of Kali. So I forget where this is. I'll try to find out where I heard this. I believe this is said somewhere. Anyways, so the Dazikana brings down really what the Mishnayos and Bikurim say, that when a ger dives by himself, he says, Elikei Avos Yisrael. In other words, when he's davening, I don't know if by yourself and with the tzibur means that you're done chazar sashatz, or with the tzibur might mean I'm in shul, so I'll say whatever, we'll say in a second what you say, but so this by yourself, again, I don't know if it means quietly in shul or maybe it means at home, but when you're together, again, I don't know if it means you're davening for the slif tzibur or something, you say elikav, you say chem, the God of your fathers. Lamaisa, Taisus in Bava Metzia says that therefore Rabbeinu Tam did not let.
Wait, are you going to tell me to start counting your first
thoughts? I have to. Taisu in Bava Metzia, I have written down Bava Metzia, says that Rabbeinu Tam did not let a ger be mezamein, be the Baal HaZimun, because during benching he asked to say Shinchal to Lav Esenu. Now, you have to know, it happens to be Rabbi Kagan, who made a bris today, spoke at length about what exactly the maker of the Rabbi Sinavarech is doing, how far it stretches, what he should say out loud. He even mentioned inside that it could be he should say the whole benching out loud, because in the days when they had to be, you might see everyone, so he said everything. Anyway, so it says Rabbi Tam did not let a ger do it because then he would have been mighty everyone. He's saying Shinchal to Lav Esenu, it's not our class. Okay. Very interestingly, the Edom of the Maral, I don't remember his name, but I think he writes Haggais on his father-in-law's farm, says that Lav Esenu could mean Adam and Noyah. Lamaisi comes from Adam and Noyah. Now, whether Adam was Jewish, seemingly not. He had a connection with God. Noach, he might have learned Torah. He wasn't either Jewish. He wasn't the chosen nation. He also had a connection with God. But it could be a ger who came as a shayches to a yid in connection with God. So it could be that's enough of to say, are all going from that? Yes, but they're not recognizing that connection. So perhaps this fellow is recognizing the connection. Maybe that's why it will work. Okay, fine. And therefore, but that would be a good shot. Why? Let us all ask ourselves. We say Elkei Avram Elkei Yitzchak Elkei Yaakov. We say Elkei Aveseinu, and then we say Elkei Avram Elkei Yitzchak Elkei Yaakov. Who are we referring to? Didn't we just say the Avais? Why are we mentioning them by name? Now, there could be many different answers to that. But this answer would be Elikei Aviseinu
Adomenoyach.
And also Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. So you're saying really five people. Generally, you would have translated Elikei Aviseinu means the God of the forefathers. And then you go mention them by name. Why are you being superfluous?
Elikei
Avram.
What? Elikei Avram.
No, Elikei. L-A-K is being said like that because it's playing off of Aviseinu. That's why L-A-K is being called, yeah. No. Aviseinu, though, is plural fathers. Who's the fathers? You would have said the forefathers. But then why are we saying it a second later? So that fits nice with this, that Aviseinu is other than Noah, and then we say Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Okay. Fine. Lamaisa in Parsha Shemois, Moshe says, Hashem Elikei Aviseichem, Elikei Avraham, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov, Shulachani Aleichem. Sounds like, no, there is an inyan to be repetitious, and we're not referring to Adam and Noah. He's saying, the God of your forefathers, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, sent me to take you out. Sounds like, first of all, it's not talking about them, and we have no problem. Okay, fine. Now, the Mishnah Bikurim says like this. The rich people would bring a basket of gold, we would take out the fruit and give them back their basket. The poor people, we would just take their basket. How come? Now, there are a few possibilities.
Rich people would bring the basket.
The rich people would bring a basket of gold with their fruit in it.
Okay.
We take the fruit and give them back their basket. The poor people, we take the whole thing. We don't give them back their basket. Why? So, first, one explanation, it's not really an explanation, it's more a commentary. The Mishnah says this, people do quote this in other places, but this is the ikur where it comes from. Basar anya azla aniyusa. It's an interesting quote, which basically means, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's technically what the Mishnah comments on it. The rich guy brought a gold basket and he gets it back. The poor guy who spent his few pennies to buy a basket to bring with it loses it. This is more commenting on it. But what's the Maisav shot? What's the Maisav shot? So, Rav Aaron Bakst wanted to say that a rich guy who's bringing nice fruit, very nice. So, we take his fruit out. House fruit's out, get back to the basket. The poor person, he doesn't bring such nice fruit. So we feel bad for him. So in order to not embarrass him, he'd rather, just keep the basket. Please don't embarrass me by taking it out. It's bad enough that I brought some funny wicker basket. Don't take out the fruit, which looks horrible. He tried to do his best. That's what it looks like. Okay? That's what he says. Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, and I think this is a more conventional pshat that people say over, the Ashirim come with gaiva, all pomp, with a whole bunch of pompous, me with my nice fruit and my nice basket. We say to him, okay, your fruit, that's the mitzvah, we'll take it. Your basket, you take back. But the ani, the spent, pushed his few pennies to try to bring bikurim, to try to bring them in a basket, to him we say, you're special to Hashem. We're going to take your whole thing. Chasuzom, not as a punishment to him, as a schus for him, as a schus for him, to make him feel good. Look, wow, you're so special that even your basket gets included in the mitzvah. Okay, who's Arami Yevidavi? We say it in this expression, we say it in Agada. Who is it? Pashtus, it's Lavan that we're referring to, like we say in Agada. The Rambam says, Avi Avram Arami Goyla Bedarka, which, in other words, sounds like Avram the Armenian. The Armenian, in other words, from Aram. It's referring to him. In other words, Arami Oved Avi, in other words, what you're saying is that, and the support and the Chizkuni say over here, that Yaakov was like an ani in the land. In other words, generally referred to Arami Oved Avi as Lavan. There's another shot that we're saying, that the Rambam calls Avram Avi Avram Arami. You're calling Avram Arami. That's right. In other words, translated into English, Avram from Aram.
I think
that's how they translate it, no? That's how they translate Aram.
Armenia is a different country.
That's where he was from.
Armenia?
I think so, wasn't it? Is that what they say?
No, okay. Armenia than Europe.
That's where Avram was from. Where is he from? No?
That's a container.
No? Different place?
Middle East.
Ah, okay. Okay, made a mistake. Anyways, from Aram, wherever it was. Vidishvi, wherever it was. So, and what, then what it would mean, it's saying that my father, the Aram, that person from Aram, he was lost amongst the land. Like we know, Avram was like a ger in the land, Yitzhak was like a ger in the land, Yaakov was like a ger in the land. So Kobi, we're not even referring to Lavan according to the basic Rishayna. The Baal HaGadah is also a Rishon. Good, so he has a pshat. We should just know that there's this other interpretation. It's possible that we're not even necessarily referring to the Feta Lavan, to the Uncle Lavan. We might just be simply commenting that my father started off as this poor wanderer. Lamaisa Rashi Panech Raza say it's Lavan. Now Agav, Frekta Evan Ezra, how's it Lavan? What's the Vayerid Mitzrayim? Arami Yovidovi Vayerid Mitzrayim. Good, so now God, we say, no, Arami Lavan tried to make Yaakov get lost, and then Mimela Yaakov ended up in Mitzrayim. It's a little far of a stretch. This is a little better. That we're not talking about love at all. My father was a poor wanderer, and then he ended up in Mitzrayim. Avram ended up in Mitzrayim. Yaakov ended up in Mitzrayim. Rashi over here explains that Arami Yovidavi Lavan tried to make us, tried to do away with us. And other people tried to do away with us when we went down to Mitzrayim. In other words, Rashi is definitely bothered by this language. He's bothered by this, he's trying to answer it, but okay. Okay, maybe we'll get back to a couple things in a minute, but I want to say one major part to make sure at least that we get it in. It says later in this week's parasha, in the Tosafot, it's in this week's parasha, it's building up. Every makkah that you can think about, everything that happened
around the second,
every imaginable thing, from the boils, from the heat, from the fever, from the destruction, from the eating of the kids, the killing of the kids, the doing the this, doing that, keeps building and building and building. The goyim coming, your kids will be taken. It's horrible. Keeps building and building and building. What do you think should be at the end? Something major. Something horrible. Something that's unimaginable. Right? Fair enough? Says the Pasuk, at the end, towards the end, V'hifla Hashem as makoyscha, Hashem will make your makas pelleted. It'll be, wow, that's out of this world what he's doing. V'eiz makoyz arecha, makoyz gedoylois, big v'nemonais, in other words, trust, in other it's going to come v'chaloyim raim v'nemonim. You think this is the end all? What does the Targum Yonason manage to conjure up for this? Says the Targum Yonason, V'chase Meimra Tashem Minachon Ruach Kudsha. Hashem will hide his Ruach HaKodesh. What? That's the end all? That's the worst that could happen. I mean, look at us today. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and we don't have all these things happening. And look what happened during World War II. All those things were happening. And Baruch Hashem, that happened. Where does this fit in? No Ruach HaKodesh? What? How's that anything? How's that anything? There's got to be something more than that. The Ravid, in his Pirush 2, the Seches, Idios, I believe. I'm not remembering. I think it's exactly Idios. In the Hakdama, he writes that I wrote this Pirush. Something, I'm sorry, I don't have the lush right here. Something about, he writes something about Ruach HaKodesh. I did, so therefore, there he says, therefore, if there's any mistake, it's my fault. And if there's no mistake, then you should know it's not that I'm great. It's with, what does that mean? A Malach taught him? I mean, maybe, but really? And not only that, if a Malach taught him, why is there any mistakes? We say by Shema Kaleinu, Al Tashlichenu Milufanecha, right? The fourth last one that we say, Mamish everyone, especially thinking about the bigger days when everyone's together, Mamish Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Al Tashlichenu, don't throw us. V'ruach Kodeshcha Al Tikach Mimenu. Wow, we are such Bali Gaiva. In coming up to Tav Shin Pei 2019, please don't take your Ruach HaKodesh from us. What? That's what we're worried about? That's the last thing that we're screaming out? Ruach HaKodesh, meint nish Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh, meint siyata tishmaya. Help from Hashem. It is klar, Rav Shach used to say it, and it's klar through everything. There's no such thing as a word of Torah without siyata tishmaya. The Ravid was saying, unfortunately, I did not have a Rebbe from Maseches Idyas. I did my best to learn Torah B'I and Rav to write this Pirush of Maseches Idyas. I hope I hit the siyata tishmaya. If you see something good, know that I hit the siyata tishmaya. If you see something bad, know that unfortunately I did not have the siyata tishmaya for that part. That's the Ruach HaKodesh that's being referred to there. During Yom Kippur, during Rosh Hashanah, during all the slichas, Ruach HaKodesh tikach mimenu. Saying siyata tishmaya. It's impossible to do tshuva. If Molei Hashem Oizrei I Yochalai, if Hashem would not help us against the Yitzhara, it is impossible to fight. What does it mean that Parai couldn't do tshuva? Parai couldn't do tshuva at the end. What does that mean? Avad doesn't mean he couldn't do tshuva. Avad he could have. It means the Ruach HaKodesh, the Siyata Dishmaya, the help from Hashem was taken away to help him do tshuva. And you know what? It is almost impossible to do tshuva at that point. That's why it was said to Acher, to Elish ben Avuya, you can't do tshuva. It didn't mean, of course, you can't do tshuva. It meant the doors of help are closed. And it's almost, you could do it. It's almost impossible. But Avada, you could do it. You have to be deserving of that help. That's what's going on. That's what's being said by Paroi, that he didn't have the help. That's what we're saying in Al Tashlichenu. Yes, that's the last thing we're saying. In Tafshin Be'ezronot Tafshin Be'ezronot Hashem, please send us yet Shmai to do tshuva. It's impossible to do tshuva without it. That's why it's the worst thing in the parasha. You know why? You know why? Because the whole time, all these punishments, Hashem says he didn't take away his help. That means, what does that mean? When you're getting hit from Hashem, but you have the siyata shmai raining down, there's a chance that you'll realize you're getting hit in order to do tshuva, and hopefully you turn around. That's a good reason to get hit. Chas v'shalom, we hope nothing upon anyone. World War II, we hope it upon no one. Al tiftav el satan. But lamaisa, at least it's for something. But imagine a guy goes through life, doesn't do any repentance with all the punishment that he got. He just thought, I have bad calamities, bad fortune in life. And he gets upstairs, and God says, you're going straight to hell. God, what do you mean? I got clocked my whole life. He says, yeah, but you didn't do anything with it. You didn't take the message. The worst thing in the world, you know what the worst thing is? Worse than getting a patch is getting a patch for a patch. If Hashem takes away Siyata Shmaya and he's still giving us punishment, that's horrible, because that means we're not waking up on our own. There's almost no hope to wake up. That's why it's the worst. Everything becomes a billion times worse and harder to deal with. All the eating in the kids, all the boils, all the fever, it becomes a billion times worse, because now we almost have no chance. Of course we could, but we have almost no chance of waking up now. That's why it's the worst thing. And that's what we're asking for, and we need tshuva going in with the Elul, asking for Siyata Shmaya. One more vart, back by the Arurim. The last Arur is Arur Asher LaYakim is Divrei HaTorah HaZayis, which Pashtus Rashi learns is an Arur on the entire 613. In other words, technically there's only on 11, but now we're saying it's on the entire 613. And Arban learns differently. Yakim is Lashon picking up. He says, very interesting, especially in those times, what was their written Torah? Only the Sefer Torah. They start writing things down afterwards. If someone picks up Hagbah and does not show it to everyone, right? You know, some people only pick up Hagbah and sit down. If you don't show it to everyone properly, right? The correct way to do Hagbah is you pick it up, you turn a half circle to your right, then you flip all the way around to your left, and you make sure that everyone saw it, and then you proceed to sit down. You have to show everyone. Why? Because if you don't, it's like you're trying to say, I'm holding the Torah to myself. Nope, me, myself, it's mine.
No, tell me that the Zion is to be one of the big page moves that everybody wants.
Of course, because we're especially there, we're trying to show everyone. We don't do it all year, but there especially we're trying to show everyone, look, the Torah is for all of us. But our Kupanim, every single time, that's what the Ramban says. So someone who doesn't do that, it's like he's keeping to himself. What do we learn from there? My Rashi Rabbi Leif said that any bit of Torah that we have, any bit of Yiddishkeit we have, any mitzvahs that we have, yes, of course, we shouldn't foist ourselves upon other people. But if we think someone might listen, if we think someone can benefit, then the best thing in the world is to be a teacher. We're all teachers. And you know what? Even if no one wants to listen to us, what's the best way to teach? Osmosis. Make sure you're doing it in a way that benefits other people. I was just in Muncie recently, and my Rashi Rabbi Leif turns to my son, my oldest son, and said, and explained to him, 6 years old, he explained to him, you're a teacher. You know how? Because your younger siblings watch what you do. So be a whether we're able to give over to other people. Be a whether we're able to set by example, we are teachers, and Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zeicheh to the brach. You know, they all had arurim, but Amanda, there were brachs also teach them, baruch, to those who share the Torah, share their ideas, share the avodas Hashem. Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zeicheh to a ksiva v'chasima. Taiva.